Triple M Rocks Sunday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
In 2017.
It's a try!
Oh! Run hard and tackle hard.
You'll hear more footy than ever before. Across the Triple M network. For Bryden's lawyers, protecting your future. Paul Kent, Gordon Tallis, Ryan Girdler and Anthony Maroon.
It's what rugby league's all about. Go!
Triple M rocks the footy. Yeah, 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 yeah.
This is Sunday Triple M NRL.
Welcome back to the beautiful ANZ Stadium in Sydney, where the weather is absolutely beautiful. Beautiful blue sky. The first game today is Holden Cup. It's Parramatta versus Manly, and I can already see Parramatta faithful, one of their leading supporters, Troy Warner's just turned up to go in there and support his mighty Eels in Holden Cup. Then, of course, we've got PNG versus Penrith in Intrust and the Big Dance. Cowboys Melbourne live on the Triple M network. Of course, just a reminder, if you want to get that Holden Cup game, you can do so at the app at triplem.com.au. We are here today for the mighty Holden, Colorado. Holden, let's go there. Gordon Tallis, Brett Finch, Paul Kent and Anthony Maroon. I must say, yesterday I watched the AFL Grand Final, which I really enjoyed. And a great win of the Richmond Tigers by, I think it was 108-60 or something along those lines. But I did. It was a wonderful, spectacular.
Watch it closely.
Exhibition. Well, the score changes so quick in AFL, doesn't it?
There's still only one final score.
Yeah, well, though. That's true. That's true. It was about 108-60. And congratulations to the Richmond Tigers. Where I'm going with this is, when we talk about grand final entertainment, I think the Killers. I'm a massive fan of the Killers.
Me too.
And they were, oh, that Brandon Flowers, he is a fair dinkum rock star. He is a superstar.
Yeah, well, they show what can happen when you get it right. They absolutely nailed it yesterday. They were so good. They, from the pre-game, before the game where they got up and sang the oils and really got the crowd into it, I think it was their way of saying to everybody, come along and rock along with us. And then obviously after the game, which we haven't seen before in any sort of grand final entertainment, they came out and sang about, I think it was roughly about 10 songs.
Yep.
The highlight being Jack Riewoldt coming on stage as the premiership-winning player. Comes on stage and off he goes and bursts into Mr. Brightside with the Killers. So they absolutely showed yesterday how to do grand final entertainment right. Puts a lot of pressure on the NRL today to get it right with Macklemore.
All right, let's have a listen to that audio. Gordy, I'll come back to you. Here is Riewoldt singing with the Killers doing Mr. Brightside yesterday at the AFL grand final. So there it is. Just wonderful scenes yesterday at the AFL Grand Final. And
Do you reckon he'll remember that day for the rest of his life, Jack Riewoldt?
Oh, mate, unreal, isn't it?
MCG 100,000, win a premiership for Richmond for the first time in 37 years and then sing with the Killers.
Yeah, but it was a great initiative from the AFL to allow the fans to come down onto the ground after the game. And once they were there, the Killers then performed like basically a small concert. And I think it was magnificent. I think it was so good, and will really set the trend now. I think the NFL, the NRL, will see here next year. We'll see something similar. I don't think it'll happen today with Macklemore, but we'll see how that goes.
You don't think Macklemore will kick ass, as we used to say?
I'll be honest with you, Maroon. You could put 10 songs in front of me right now and make one of them his, and you could pay me $1 million. I couldn't guess it.
Yeah.
I've never heard him sing.
Can you know with...
Yeah, mate, I'm an old man when it comes to that. I'll be honest. I think we are a fairly blue-collar game.
But I couldn't name any of the Killer songs.
Oh, come on. What if you could?
Mr. Brightside.
I have no idea.
If you heard... I guarantee you'd know at least six.
It sounds all the same, all those bands that come out to me.
You know with Melbourne, but the sporting events they do down there are just superb. The town... Yeah. Like, you don't even have to be at the actual event and the town's a buzz.
Because it's so close.
Yeah, and the grand final, like, it's a week build-up. There's grand final parades, there's things going on. So by the time you get to the game, it's just... Fever pitch.
Well, Todd Greenberg got... Yeah. I will say it. politely quite upset with me on Wednesday night at the Dally M's, because I said to him, I thought the NRL's performance this week's been disgraceful as far as entertainment for the people. I think there's been no buzz around Sydney, and the NRL have tried to throw off the ball. You know, you've got the Cowboys in Melbourne, they're both out of Sydney teams, but that's no excuse. The fact is that to organise any sort of grand final function takes longer than a week, and until, you know, a week ago, we still had a Sydney team involved, and you know, coming into the finals, I think there was five Sydney teams involved. But the point is, the NRL's been very poor. It's been school holidays all week. We've had kids sitting at home. Why couldn't they put on, like, a week-long coaching clinics out at Parramatta and another one in at ANZ Stadium?
A couple of years ago, I think, when the Cowboys made it, like, they had that big fan zone when you walk through, and there's all different things you could do, like the biggest player, and you could measure yourself and weigh yourself against the biggest and smallest
there's
player.
There's been nothing, Gordon. It's school holidays. Like, it's a perfect opportunity to sell the game to the kids and get a bit of energy around Sydney and get people a bit excited about today's game.
Because the funny thing about
school
Melbourne,
holidays,
like,
of course they will.
We keep on judging ourselves on Melbourne. They go to watch horses walk down the main street 2 days before the Melbourne Cup.
The Melbourne Cup winners, though. They're not just horses.
Yeah, but please.
Yeah, like, you get Might and Power and Sub-Zero.
It's a horse.
Just horses.
It's a horse.
I'd rather watch a horse than some football, to be honest. So, look, that's
I've got
a
teeth like a horse.
See, that's it.
But what I'm saying,
myself and, well, I've got a head like a horse and he's got a teeth like a horse. Yeah, why don't we just play?
I won't say what I've got like a horse.
An ego.
Look, what I'll say,
I'm like a Shetland pony with that.
What I will say is we've had an opportunity all week to sell the game, and the NRL, I think, today are realising they missed it. Because, look, this is pretty good here today. But this is about all we've got. We've had Luna Park on Thursday, but the NRL were very light on pre-game hype. They should have had NRL Nation a few years ago. They had that kicking down at Darling Harbour and it went okay. I don't know how much it cost. Last year they had something similar down at the Opera House. This year they moved to Luna Park. But they needed something a little bit more grassroots, so all the kids who are on school holidays can say to mum and dad, can we go down to Parramatta Stadium today or whatever football ground that they care to choose and say, can we go? And they have ex-NRL players there, NRL players who are no longer playing in the finals. They're there and they're taking kids who pass the ball and they're teaching them skills and they're showing them things, and they can sit down and talk to the kids about nutrition. They can do it all and they can use it to sell the game, and we've done nothing. The rest of Sydney, where's the corporate world getting behind Sydney? Where's the big bank getting involved in lunches all
I've
week?
I've got the answer.
You I'm always sure have. You have.
Move the grand final to Queensland.
Oh, no. We might have that. We might come back.
That works until Cronulla play Manly in a grand final and nobody turns up.
Yeah. Now, look, before we move out of this event at the grand final argument...
I got you, didn't I, Paul?
No, I just got you.
Kenny, before we move away from this,
go watch Cronulla.
Could you tell us the story, Paul, about... Just to wrap this segment up, you've told this story before, but it is one of my favourites, about when some stage show turned up to do the 88 and 89 grand final.
Oh, that's 42nd Street.
Yeah, and what happened? Tell us what happened.
No, they got the entire cast from 42nd Street. Look, the grand final history is riddled with just stuff-ups. Yeah, yeah. Billy Idol coming out. And
what about the Optus Vision TV?
That was in 90... that was
97?
97, I think it was.
But this 42nd Street.
That nearly killed... If anyone's under that, they would have died. No, 89 grand final, 42nd Street. The entire cast from 42nd Street come out. Half-time entertainment, pre-game entertainment, they go out, they stand on stage or on the ground waiting for it to start, and they waited, and they waited, and they waited, and then finally it was over and they walked off because someone forgot to bring the tape along to play the music. So they just stood there. That's it, that was it. They stood there the whole time. But the good thing about... the NRL were one of the early... I suppose inspirations for grand final entertainment. Back in the 70s, Balloons Abbott was working at the New South Wales Rugby League, and he sat there one morning, I think it was about the 76 grand final, and they sat there and the people were lined up outside Phillip Street headquarters to buy grand final tickets, and they lined up down the corner, down to the next corner, and then slowly started to wrap around the block. And he said to Kevin Humphries at the time, he said, look at all these people, look how many fans we've got, we need to do something for these people. So the next year they decided, rather than just have people turn up and watch a football game, they put on a bit of entertainment. So it started at 9 o'clock in the morning, they had the cheerleader of the year, and they had all these different things on during the day that give the people a full day's entertainment as a reward for their support throughout the season. Now, that's where the game used to be. Today, they forget about the people. They don't put anything on during the week. The game's got bigger. I know there's pre-game entertainment today, but that's because it's a necessity. But the fact is, there was an opportunity to say to people today, this week, let's do something about the game. Let's make it better. Let's celebrate it. And we've done nothing of the sort. It's been really disappointing how bad it is.
All right, Sunday Triple M NRL is thanks to Bryden's Lawyers. Live at ANZ Stadium for Holden, Colorado. Let's go there. Gordon Tallis, Brett Finch, Paul Kent, Anthony Maroon. We are here right through till the end of the grand final. Dan Ganame will call that game for you today, this afternoon. So make sure you download the app at triplem.com.au. Moving on to other issues involved in rugby league. And, of course, been a big year for coach carnage. A lot of coaches moved on this year, be it at first grade level or assistant coaches. A couple of assistant coaches been told now they're not wanted. But we got some good news via the Bulldogs through the week, Finchie, with Dean Pay being announced as the head coach for the next couple of years moving forward. Great news for Dean Pay. I don't know Dean personally, but I believe he's a wonderful guy and a footy brain. But I do feel a little sorry for Jimmy Dimmick, who feels like he's been there for an eternity.
Yeah, he's been back at Canterbury now for 10 years, I think, Jimmy, and obviously Clive Churchill medalist for the Bulldogs. But I think that it's a great appointment, Dean Pay. I think together they'd make a great duo if Jim Dimmick wants to stay there. I worked with Jimmy at the Roosters, and he was has a great footy mind, and obviously Dean Pay, I haven't been coached by Dino, but as a player, he was tough and no-nonsense and demanded respect. So, he bleeds blue and white. Dean Payne, I think it's great to get him back there. He's done his apprenticeship. He was at the Roosters with Ricky when they won the competition in 02. Spent some time in Melbourne under Craig Bellamy, and then obviously back now with Stick again. So, he's certainly done a great apprenticeship, and I think he'll do a really good job.
They did a good job too, the Bulldogs. Like, they came out earlier in the week and they said, right, we're going to go through a process now. They wanted a coach appointed by the time pre-season training kicked off. So they said, we'll give ourselves 2 or 3 weeks. And obviously the two standout applicants were Pay and Dimmick. Now, various other assistant coaches and out-of-work coaches applied for the job. But the Bulldogs said, right, what we'll do, they gave Pay and Dimmick, they said, look, we've got a board meeting Tuesday night. We'd like you to present there. So both men had about 48 hours to get their presentation right, and they turned up and they presented. Now, two things came out of it. One was that a lot of their presentations overlapped each other, which showed that they were both very good applicants and very in sync with where the club needed to go, and just reaffirmed what the club thought about what they would do as far as getting it right and turning the ship around, so to speak. And then once they walked out of that meeting, they thought, you know what, Dean Pay's application, his presentation was so good, we should give him the job. He satisfied all their needs. So rather than go through then this dodgy process of saying to other people, we'll come in and have a look at you and we'll give you, make it look all fair and above board.
Well, they found who they wanted.
They found who they wanted, and they said, well, let's just not go through the charade, so let's appoint Dean Pay now. And they appointed him. I think well done to the Bulldogs for just being nice and clean about it all.
And, Gordy, though, to bring you in on this argument, good appointment there in Dean Pay. As Paul said, he ticks all the boxes and he is from that family.
Well, he's gone around and he's got an apprenticeship. So to work under Craig Bellamy, work under Ricky and, like, under so many different players, you know, I suppose as a great player as he was, you've got to learn how to manage people. And I think that's what he's probably been doing for the last 10 or so years. And Dean Pay was tough. He's uncompromising and he's... seems to be a guy that I don't think that he'd mince his words and he wouldn't mix it. So when he's talking to you, well, you pretty much know the direction that he'd want you to play in. So, you know, I think it's a...
The real benefit, too, about him, you saw at his press conference the other day and he was asked various questions by the media there about what to do and certain players, and he was very honest already. He said, look, some players are probably going to have to learn how to play different positions. And he talked about what they're going to have to do about turning things around. He admitted there were some problems there at the club and things that they need to fix. A lot of coaches get the job and they get too clever for themselves. They start to outthink themselves all the time. They want to appear like they play those mind games with their players. They're trying to keep them motivated. They're trying to do various things that get them to either respond to a challenge or get them to either think they're better than what they are. And there's all these little mind games going on. And, you know, a friend of mine I was talking to Ben Eichert actually during the week. And he was talking about one of his closest friends, a guy who'll love his name being said on the radio, Gary McDonald, who's Gary McDonald's two best friends are Craig Bellamy and Ricky Stewart.
Macca, he coached me when I was at Canberra.
Yeah, and he's a great fella.
Champion.
And he obviously caught up with Craig this week, and he was talking about Craig and what the sort of guy he was. And he played with Craig in reserve grade at Canberra. So that was a long, long time ago. And then he was around Canberra still when Craig got the coaching job for the under-21s at the time and came through, and he's been mates with him ever since. And the one thing he says about Bellamy is he has never changed as a person from that bloke he played reserve grade in Canberra with. And he's still the same guy, even though he's the most successful coach in the game today. And that's, I think, that's a real asset for a coach, because the players... when the coach is so upfront and so honest and so genuine, they know exactly where they stand. They know if he says they need to do this or do that, they need to do that. There's no debate about it. Whereas you got other coaches in the past who they outsmart themselves. They play mind games with the players. They're trying to do this to get that. And in the end, once the players figure them out, that's the end of it for the coaches. But the coaches don't learn their lesson. And I think Dean Pay is a similar type of character to Craig Bellamy. Craig Bellamy's from a little place outside Lithgow.
He's in Portland.
Portland, which is just outside Lithgow. And then you've got Dean Pay is from Dubbo. And the one thing about country people like that, they're straight shooters. And I think that's what they're going to appreciate once they get him in the coaches, in the coaches panel at their, or coaches box out at Canterbury.
Now, let's just, before we move away from coaches and... Dean Pay's appointment for the next couple of years at the Bulldogs. But, of course, now we have this situation where there are a number of, for want of a better term, blue-chip coaches with nothing to do in 2018. And I'm talking about Michael Maguire and Des Haslam. They lead that brigade. Do you think, or have any of you had any intel that perhaps other clubs are jostling and looking at their own coaching ranks and say, hey, maybe we should nab one of these blokes before they get taken off the market? I mean, Ivan Cleary sat around for a while, but in the end, he was the perfect choice for the West Tigers.
Yeah, I haven't heard of any coaches or any clubs looking at these two guys, hoping to get them in. I think there's a little bit of... everybody knows Craig Bellamy's off contract at the end of next season, so I think there's a few clubs sitting there who've got that on their, on written down in their diary. But that's it's a funny thing, Maroon. I think both coaches are quality coaches, and the next time a job comes up, they will be in the picture. Now, obviously, the Gold Coast Titans are still looking for a coach at the moment. Maguire and Hasler have been mentioned, but not really in respect to that job. I think it's more people throwing up their names because they're available. But Maguire has indicated, we're led to believe, that he's not quite keen to go to the Gold Coast because he doesn't want to leave Sydney because of his children. Mm. And then, secondly, Des is... I think Des probably priced himself out of the Gold Coast, to be honest, because there's not a lot of money to be had there. And the way the Gold Coast coaching appointment looks, it'll be a coach that's going to come in and try and prove himself. But those two coaches will be certainly mentioned every time an opportunity comes up now.
Yeah, well, you look at Des, he's won two premierships, and Michael Maguire achieved something at South that no one did in 50 years. So even though they probably didn't end on the note they wanted to at each club, they're certainly good coaches and... would be an asset to any club they went to.
What about we get halfway through next season, Gordy? We'll leave the Gold Coast out. We know that you're associated with the Gold Coast. We're going to leave them out. But say we get halfway through next season and the Warriors are still the biggest underachievers in the history of sport. Wouldn't you not think either Des or Madge would be a perfect... I know it means moving overseas... These two would be perfect to bring to the Warriors what they don't have.
So many guys have gone over there and failed that they need a real strong guy. Other than Ivan Cleary, I suppose he was the most successful player over there. But if I was the Warriors, I would be throwing everything I have at Craig Bellamy.
Yeah, right.
I would throw, that's the guy that can set up a system that can go away and build players and turn players into whatever he needs for the
organisation. The Warriors did throw... chased him a few years back, and I heard that senior players over there didn't want him because he's too hard a taskmaster.
Yeah, but that's the problem with
the Warriors.
See, that's the problem, and just offer him one of the small islands around there. You know why?
South
Hickey or someone. One of the islands.
What I would do if I'm the Warriors, I spoke to Jim Doyle on Wednesday at the Dally M's, and he's got great faith in Steve Kearney. He thinks he's a good coach, and he thinks he can turn the club around. Obviously, there's a few problems there, and a few guys went there this year that didn't perform to what we know they're capable of. There's a few other guys there who I think really need a bit of a kick up the bum to sort of get into action a little bit. But
look, Steve Kearney's got himself another year. We'll see how that goes. If it doesn't work out, I think both Maguire and Hasler, for what they can bring to a club, that hard, tough edge that the Warriors desperately need. And if the senior players think they're too hard, yeah, that's simple. It's easily fixed. You get rid of the senior players.
Okay, Sunday Triple M NRL, we do it thanks to Brydens Lawyers, askbrydens.com.au. And we are broadcasting live at ANZ Stadium for the brilliant Holden, Colorado. Holden, let's go there. And it's Gordon Tallis, Brett Finch, Paul Kent, Anthony Maroon. Something's been going on in rugby league this week that's gone pretty unnoticed here in New South Wales and Queensland. But Papua New Guinea are playing in the Intrust Super Cup Grand Final. And in Papua New Guinea at the moment, this is absolutely massive news. We're going to talk about that very shortly because Finchie's pretty clued up on what's going on there. Lots of people listening via the app at triplem.com.au in Port Moresby at the moment. And so too, Bali. We've heard from Shifty, who's listening via the app in Bali to get his rugby league fix. And he is a Newcastle Knights fan, we believe, so I thought we'd move this up a little bit forward. The famous 1997 Newcastle Manly ARL Grand Final. Do you remember it? Here are some highlights from 97.
Grand Final moment.
1997, Newcastle. Everybody was on their bandwagon and they can kick a field goal. They got 12 players out to the left and then a little nugget bumps off one. There's only one bloke you want to pass to in the game at that time with so much speed, and that was Darren Albert. And when he got the ball, there was no chance of them stopping him. And when he scored and he jumped, then it was a great moment for rugby league.
Now, the tackle.
It does not get any better than that. What we have just witnessed in the last 5 minutes, it doesn't get any better. It's a fairy tale.
The scenes of jubilation are not just on the ground. You should see them in the grandstands. Newcastle weeping, tears of jubilation.
Like 10 minutes ago, they were gone. One of the really good guys in the game, Darren Albert, absolute speedster, and just put himself in the right position inside the right man in Andrew Johns. Read the situation perfectly, short pass back on the inside, and Darren Albert raced away to score behind the post. The reaction in the Hunter Valley, well, it was over the top.
Triple M rocks the NRL for Brighton's Lawyers, protecting your future.
What's great about the grand final?
The grand final is about to kick off.
So while the match has its stars, any of the 34 players can be the hero.
Any one of the 34 can come up with that moment.
Any of the 34 can come up with a signature play.
There's 20 seconds on the clock.
People ask me what it's like to win a grand final.
Down the block, Andrew Johns. Inside for Albert.
The moments of the 1997 grand final I remember is actually heading down to Sydney. 30,000 people, yeah, to see us off. One bloke held up a big sign, fight one more round.
Newcastle!
I remember going onto the field. Usually the crowd would be sort of, you know, 50-50 split, you know, 60-40 at best. But we ran on, honestly. Out of the 41,000 people there, there must have been 40,000 Knights fans. It was just a sea of red and blue.
Newcastle weeping, tears of jubilation.
The game itself was just so tough. I remember the first half just went in a blur. We found ourselves 14-6 behind. Then after half time, we just immediately started picking up momentum. Before you know it, it was 16-all. And when Andrew knocked over the conversion to make it 16-all, well, I knew he had it.
They're dancing in the streets of Newcastle right now.
Yeah, those last few seconds were unbelievable. Andrew, I was standing underneath the post, calling for the ball to go for a last second shot of field goal. And Andrew dummied, went up the short side and laid that ball back inside to Darren Albert. Then looked up at the clock and the clock went 3, 2, 1. I thought, my God, that's it. It was pandemonium on the stadium. For 20 minutes, people just went nuts. They were running on the field. People just didn't know how to control their emotions. We went back on the bus back to Newcastle. When we got back to Newcastle, there were 100,000 people waiting for us in the city centre. The win was something else, but the party was even better.
There is no greater day. I still get goosebumps.
There's a couple of moments from 91 that stick with me. It's obviously being sin bin when I thought I'd lost the game for my team. But then the second half when Royce Simmons yelled out to me, they're going to try a short dropout. I saw Scotty Gale aiming towards me. I ran onto the ball, bounced straight in my chest, found Royce Simmons, and there the grand final, was won.
And the Panthers, they get up and win.
Going back to Panthers leagues after the 91 grand final, I kind of got a glimpse into what it was like to be one of the Beatles, because there was 20,000 screaming fans, which you could see in their faces that this meant so much to them as much as it did to us.
Winning a grand final is the best. The best feeling you can get playing our game. Every kid dreams of scoring a try to win the grand final.
Brisbane must score and tell us nothing.
People ask me what it's like to win a grand final, and you know, they're so hard to win, and playing grand finals is some of the greatest players to play a game they've ever get to win once. The greatest team feeling you can have.
Brisbane.
You've worked so hard. You know that everybody wants to be you on that day.
And the Broncos, they can celebrate.
That's the greatest thing about being in grand finals.
A minute of the footy.
Too good.
Oh, mate.
Download the Triple M NRL app and listen anywhere.
Listen to that crap.
I'm saved. Hallelujah.
This is Sunday Triple M NRL.
Tell you what, it is beautiful grand final weather. Well, this afternoon is anyway. Beautiful blue sky in Sydney for the NRL grand final live at ANZ Stadium where we are now. Thanks to the Holden, Colorado. Best of both. Visit your local Holden dealer now and find out more about the mighty Holden, Colorado. Triple M NRL, as always, thanks to Bryden's lawyers, protecting your future. Free legal advice, just ask the question at askbrydens.com.au. Now, Gordon Tallis, Brett Finch, Paul Ken, Anthony Maroon, Ryan Girdle will join us after two. I thought this would be a good opportunity to have a look at a real rugby league fairy tale story that's gone a little unnoticed, I feel, in Sydney this week at least. At 3:40 today here at ANZ Stadium, Penrith will take on the PNG Hunters in the Intrust Super Cup.
Go the Hunters.
Grand final. So just before I go to you boys with your thoughts, some of these wonderful names in this PNG Hunters side, I want to give them a mention. Stargroth Amian, Wawa Paul, Bland Abavu, Adex Wara, Butler Morris, Ace Boaz, Watson Boaz, Wellington Albert, Watovo Puara, Stanton Albert, David Loco, Nixon Putt, and the famous Moses Meninga in jumper 13. This is a massive story to come out of Papua New Guinea, where, Finchie, I'm going to go to you, because we did a gig at Mounties yesterday, and you were telling everybody what this means in Papua New Guinea.
Yeah, obviously, rugby league's the national sport over there, and the only country that has that. And they were saying it's that big a deal for the country that it'll be one of the biggest things to ever happen in the history of Papua New Guinea if they win here today, or actually just being here today. The president's Prime Minister Sturdean, we obviously send a team over to play Papua New Guinea. That's since 2005, and I was a part of that first team. And when you go over there and play, you go into villages and you speak to people and try and educate the kids. And they were saying there's small villages of, say, 200 people, and they would have one TV. And every time they'd have the footy on the TV, all 200 people would sit around and watch. you drive on the bus, and you wouldn't see two people in a row without a NRL cap or a jumper. Yeah. It is just absolutely incredible. Mal was the coach that time, and Mal was just like a god over there.
Yeah.
It's just so big.
As testament by Moses Meninga, because there's a fair chance that he wasn't. Yeah, that's not the family name, Meninga. Yeah. It's just what they wanted to call him.
Yeah, and it's that big over there. And then, yeah, as you say, and then they're the villagers that have TV. Some of them walk 2 hours or 3 hours to watch. To watch everything, like Bill Harrigan used to go over there to referee. Like, everybody's famous. So it's, and then...
Even referees, you're saying.
They even like NRL referees. So, like, then last week in Brisbane, there was a real hoot, and there was congratulations to the Hunters. When they come into the comp about 4 years ago, you know, everybody didn't know what to expect, but they've been a shining light. I love the style of footy that they play. It's just so raw. They throw the ball around. It's highly skillful. And then last week, they get, I don't know, over 12,000 to a local grand final. But then when they arrived back in Port Moresby, you know, like, the water was over the plains, and there was, I don't know, mate, it looked like the 20,000 what they're talking about at Penrith was like when you, just at the airport.
When you play them, they're that hard to play. They're that physical, and they just absolutely just hammer you, and then they come up after the game softly spoken asking for your autograph. You just go, you just belted me for 40 minutes.
Oh, they're granite.
Can they win today, though? Because I watched the grand final last week against the Falcons, and they got home only in the last couple of minutes. But They were coming home at the end, but Gordon, they're a side that
their emotions got too much for them early. I think they completed one out of their first five, so they dropped the ball, and it was just like, and you could see how much it meant to them. So that occasion was so big for those guys to win a competition. Well, now that they've ticked that box, hopefully that they've had a quieter week, and they come out here and they can play the natural footy that they do without making mistakes. But to hang in there against a Melbourne Storm reserve grade, which is the Sunshine Coast, and to go away with the real disciplined side that, you know, would have had a great game plan. I saw Frank Panisi and all the old Melbourne Storm staff on the sideline, and they actually hung in there and toughed it out, and they scored in the, you know,
78th minute
to win the game.
Yeah, but look, it's interesting because Penrith are obviously the breeding ground of footballers down here in Sydney. They played pretty well last week against Wyong Penrith. I thought they started a little bit slowly, but they played well enough and obviously came home at the end. But they play a very NRL style of football, and the PNG Hunters don't. They're throwbacks to another era of the game where basically the strategy is run hard, tackle hard, and score when you can. And that's just the way they go about
but
it.
But you know what? They don't defend in systems. They race out and they hit you hard. And I'm thinking, God, there's so much open space. But the bloke they're catching the ball, as Finchie said, is getting his rib cage rattled that hard that you go away from your game plan. You go, no.
Well, you'd run a play as a ball player, and then you just see defenders like,
you're not supposed to be supposed to
and
be.
It actually wouldn't work because you'd be so confused of what they were doing.
Mm.
You're going, why is he there? But they're just
those structures that you attack to aren't there.
Mm.
They're not there. And like, I remember,
which gives them a chance today.
Gives them a chance. So unorthodox.
Is there always is going to be when they have a bit of success, and now they've made the grand final in the Intrust Cup. But there has been some little whispers and little talk through the week, Finchie, about the possibility of them one day having an NRL club side.
Yeah, well, I'm not too sure where that's at.
I mean, what would that cost a year?
Oh, well, you got
40 million bucks?
But I just think for the country itself. No. The country itself, if you're a kid at home today in Port Moresby and you're watching the Hunters play at ANZ Stadium, you know, in front of 30,000 or 40,000 that will be here, you know, that gives you the goals and dreams and aspirations. Yeah. I just think it's great for the country itself.
Who would have thought when I grew up in North Queensland that North Queensland would have ever been, or even a Brisbane side, in a New South Wales competition? So, you know, and then they have the North Queensland side come in where we used to go play against the Brisbane teams and get beaten, but to come and within 20 years win the national competition. Well, the Hunters have to have that same focus, and hopefully one day, that it might be 20 years down the track, that they do have a side in the NRL competition, and we got the guys like David Mead and, you know, Nene McDonald and all those guys playing.
All right, Sunday Triple M NRL live at ANZ Stadium ahead of the grand final, which we will call for you tonight on the Triple M network. If you want to go to the app now, triplem.com.au, you'll get the Holden Cup, and our voice winner is calling that game along with Jamie Stout at the moment. We're doing it thanks to the Holden Colorado, best of both. Visit your Holden dealer to find out more. And as we go to the break, we're talking about Penrith. What about the 2003 grand final and that legendary tackle by Scott Sattler? More great grand final moments on Triple M NRL.
Another Triple M NRL grand final moment.
For a guy who carries one of the most famous surnames in rugby league, the tackle from Scott Sattler was just top draw and really was the catalyst for Penrith to go on and win that game. It was just so fitting and appropriate that Scott Sattler is now remembered in the same breath, I suppose, as his father, John Sattler, when it comes to great grand final achievements.
High tackle's gone. Brilliant defence by the Sydney Roosters. And now it's from Pritis away to Girdler. It's come off the feet of the Roosters. Fittler's gone after it. Then he scoops the ball away to Byrne. Byrne puts on a fend. Then he puts on a sprint. Sattler is chasing.
You will ever see in any game. His father John is here. Wouldn't be a prouder man.
He saved my ass, Sats. I actually kicked the ball that ricocheted off Brad Fittler's leg, and he scooped it up past it to Toddy Byrne, and I just thought that he was going to run 80 metres and score a try that would have really turned the game at that point with about 20 minutes to go in the second half. And then Scotty Sattler just came from nowhere. What a chase, what a tackle, what a moment in the grand final.
Triple M Rocks, Sunday Arvo Footy, for Brighton's Lawyers, protecting your future.
A song that reminds me of when we won the competition back in 1991 is a song that was playing just before we ran out in the field, and I remember it vividly. The reserve grade game before us went into extra time, so we had a chance to basically sit there and savour the moment and listen to this artist sing. The artist in question was Mark Williams. The song in question was his hit at the time, Show No Mercy. Every time I think of it, I think of our win in 1991, and guess what? The Panthers didn't show any mercy that day to the Raiders.
Show no mercy, let me see all that you gotta give. Show no mercy, I can take all that you want, it's time to live.
Some of the recollections of that grand final in 1991 are both happy, sad, euphoric. We lost the grand final the year before to the Raiders, who we happened to be playing again. Same score at halftime, Raiders 12, Panthers 6. 10 minutes into the second half, M. Gaia gets Simbin. And basically, there goes 1991's grand final, I thought. And as I was walking up the tunnel, our coach said, you can do one of two things, MG. Sit here and feel sorry for yourself, or go back out there in 10 minutes and help us win this comp. I followed Gus Gould's words, and I went out and tried my best to help the other 12 members who tackled their absolute asses off while I was off the field. I think about that day, it's the most euphoric feeling I feel. As a rugby league player, as an ex-rugby league player, the only time I get envious of not being a player is this time of year. You know the feeling you get when you actually lift that trophy with the best mates. It's the best feeling you'll ever have. Williams building out that song right now, Show No Mercy, it takes me straight back to that moment in 1991.
Mercy.
Never miss a minute of the footy. Download the Triple M NRL app and listen anywhere. The Brighton's Lawyers, protecting your future. This is Sunday Triple M NRL.
Put your clothes on, Gerds. It's not over yet.
With Paul Kent, Gordon Tallis, Ryan Girdler and Anthony Maroon. Triple M rocks the footy.
Welcome back to ANZ Stadium. We're broadcasting live for the beautiful all-new Holden, Colorado. And, of course, we do it for our mates at Brighton's Lawyers, protecting your future. Even some rugby league royalty here. Joe Leisha has turned up to watch the father of young Michael. Michael's not... He's almost as good as Joe, but Joe's on hand to watch the games here today. Brett Finch is here. Paul Kent, of course, Gordon Tallis and Maroon as well. Now, a update on Holden Cup. Parramatta leading Manly 6-0. Parramatta leading Manly 6-0 in Holden Cup. 8-0 now, in fact. 8-0. And that's all thanks to Tyre Power. Buy three and get one free on a huge range of Toyo passenger and SUV tyres. On Sunday Triple M NRL, it's time for this. Well, you want to see this jacket the Raging Bull's got on today. It looks like something out of a 1970s sports car. And he's got
I'm wearing it for respect of Hugh Hefner. It's one of his. It's one of Hugh's.
Are you doing anything
straight
else?
Straight out of the back of the closet.
Are you doing anything else in respect for... anything like
half to read. When I grow up, I want to be Hugh Hefner.
All right, mate. This is where we let you out of the bullpen. This is where we let you out of off the chain.
Well, my raging bull this week is raging good, obviously. It's grand final day, and, you know, like, you get a bit worried if you look at what the AFL had. They had Richmond. I think that's like a Parramatta or a you know, a South Sydney type of team, you know, like a traditional club, one of the powerful clubs that hadn't been there, a bit like when South was here, so the emotion and the passion. But to have a side from North Queensland, that would be probably a 20-hour drive, and from Melbourne to play in an NRL Grand Final. But to see the jerseys, I see a Raiders, I see a South, I saw a South Queensland Crushers jersey come in. So this is a game that we should celebrate, and it's for every team. And I saw a West Tigers jersey before, and obviously there's Parramatta, Manly, Melbourne and Cowboys. But to see a number of Melbourne Storm jerseys here and the Cowboys jerseys walking out, it makes you proud of the game, I believe. That's it. Well, I don't have to be raging bad all the time, Paul. Sometimes, you know, good things.
So you're just saying all the good things. And PNG and the Intrust Grand Final.
Absolutely.
And you just want to watch good teams too. And then, like, we've got three players here at Melbourne. And I know I'm biased towards Melbourne, but, yeah, they've been. I think Smith will go down as probably the greatest player. Slater is the best fullback I've ever seen. And Cronk's got to be in your top 10 halfbacks of all time. So, you know, to see what they've achieved, three players have all played 300 games together at one club in a city that rugby league's not the number one sport. I know from that point of view, it's, you know, I'm really looking forward to seeing those boys play. We've been extremely blessed to watch three.
Do you think it's the last time that they will ever play together? Do you think Cronk will retire?
I think Cooper will retire, and I think Bill will go again. I think Billy will play.
Is he on game 299 today, I think?
Yeah, he's on 299. And I think 39 origins, or 29 origins or something like that. So
he'll get the mail,
maybe. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's Raging Bull. It was like a nice little kiss on the lips today, wasn't it?
It's like the potty calf today.
The Raging Potty Calf.
Well, Paul, do you want to have one?
No.
Come on, Paul. You've got it. The Raging Kent.
Be very careful there, Anthony.
Don't say that past 10 times. I bet you can't.
I won't even attempt to. All right. Finchie, it's always a pleasure, mate. And we did a great corporate yesterday. You did a great job. You left them in, and you did a great job today as well.
Thanks, Maroon. Thanks for having me, Andy. I really enjoyed it.
Mate, he's fading and fit. I don't want to out you here, Finchie. We did this corporate at Mounties. He's not even in the car, and he's texted me, where do I send this invoice? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, of course you're kidding. That was about 2 hours after.
Because there's a cashie. Yeah.
No, there's no cashies where I'm involved. What are you going to do for the rest of the day, Finchie?
Mate, I'm calling the State Cup, State Championship on Fox. And then, mate, I'll be watching the boys go around tonight. And, mate, I'll be over there hopefully celebrating with the boys and having a few beers.
So you tip Melbourne?
Yeah, I tip Melbourne. My heart's in Melbourne, you know. It's the last club I played with. I love the club, and just putting that aside, I think they'll win and win well. I'm expecting
win well.
Yeah, over 20 points. I think 20 plus they'll win by. They're the best. I just think they're the best team by far in the competition, and that counts for something. Consistency. I think what they do, they won't give the Cowboys the amount of opportunities Cowboys have had over the last 3 weeks. And when they do get those opportunities, which will be rare, I think they defend them better than anyone. So, you know, it's an exciting day for all the players. And, you know, wish them all the best. But hopefully the boys in purple can get the job done.
Clive Churchill medal?
Will Chambers.
Why?
I just think he's a big game player. You know, no matter what type of game, whether it's open or a rural arm wrestle, he's involved. So
he's unbelievable.
I think that right side's their strength with Cooper and Billy and Vunivalu. So I loved him as a teammate. I just love him as a player because he goes finds the games. You know, some centers, if the ball doesn't come to them,
he's got a bit of Justin Hodges in.
Yeah, he loves the big games, I think he'll have a blinder today.
All right, Holden Cup score: Parramatta 12, Manly 0. Thanks, Finchie. All the best in the off season.
Thanks, boys.
Go, Para.
All right,
Parramatta 14, Manly 0.
Sunday 14-0 now, is it? Thank you very much, Paul. So that's all. Thanks
with
to Tyre Power.
Come.
Jonathan Thurston's moment in the 2015 Grand Final. I want to play you that shortly, but after the break, Ryan Girdler joins us and we will talk about the Grand Final once again, get his thoughts, Brent Reed on the way, preview the Grand Final. But right now, I look back just a couple of years to that memorable 2015 Grand Final, and who will ever forget how that finished? Another memorable Grand Final moment as Triple M rocks the finals.
Another Triple M NRL Grand Final moment.
probably the best grand final moment I've ever witnessed was Thurston's conversion miss in 2015. They obviously scored on the bell. Who will forget that try? And then Jonathan Thurston had about 3 minutes with the whole focus just on that one moment that was going to win the Cowboys potentially their first grand final. He struck it so well. Normally bends them from right to left, but that one didn't come around for him and it hit the crossbar. Just a grand final moment. Well, it was just one for the ages.
The grand final rests on this kick. Here he comes, Jonathan Thurston. Starts it right. It's low. It's low. Hits the post.
No.
Golden point.
Oh.
And he is absolutely ropeable with himself.
I thought it was over, Mick. I'm not sure about you.
Well, JT thought it was going over as well. I was sitting right behind it, and the kick was just coming around beautifully, as they always seem to do off the boot of Jonathan Thurston. And when it hit the woodwork, well, it deflated certainly the North Queensland side, and JT couldn't believe that it hadn't gone over.
Triple M Rocks, Sunday Arvo Footy, for Bryden's Lawyers, protecting your future.